Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, November 10th, 2011. Going right into the show tonight. A lot of major topics to cover. Some interesting things happened this past week. But first, I want to just tell everybody one thing that we all have to remember to do constantly is to relax. Just take it easy because we live in the craziest world of all time. There are people out there with their finger on the trigger of nuclear bombs, and if anything looks like there was a time when they were going to use them, it's right now. I'll be talking a little bit about that in the Iran issue. But anyway, just relax. I mean, if there is such a way to do that. I got a kick out of one time Jackie Patru was a guest. I was a guest on her radio show. She was a talk show host. I don't believe she's been on the air for quite some time. But one time I was talking to her and I said, you know, if in a couple of weeks I expect things to just get back to normal. And she was laughed at me. She said, Jim, she said, your life will never be normal. So at any rate, something we all have to do, relax. Okay, tomorrow, November 11th, 2011, 11-11-11 is the date. And of course, there's been internet chatter and YouTube videos and promising the end of the world. Much of this is government-supported chatter, as they call it, just to fill the airwaves with meaningless chatter to divert the public. But given the situation in Iran, and given the all of the talk that has gone on recently, it just seems like the people here cannot wait until they get into a war with Iran. And of course, there's a long, rich history to this whole thing, but it's a rather catch-22 situation because number one, Iran has resources. They have put some of their resources, in fact, a lot of their resources, into military goods, and they're getting them from Russia and China. So they got some pretty good stuff. It's very clear, and I'm not a military strategist, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the U.S. and its buddies cannot attack Iran in the traditional sense. It's not going to be Dan Rather riding on the endless stream of Humvees riding into Baghdad, like in the Iraq, and I remember him riding in. It was just like they showed a tank shooting at a building. There were no people around, and the cement was crumbling out of the side of the building, and that's what they showed as the war. It isn't going to be like that in Iran. So it's a catch-22, because after all of the chatter, they're going to have to go in and do something. If they don't, they're going to lose rhetoric one-upmanship, so to speak, on Iran. And so Iran is just waiting for the first strike, and I don't think they're going to sit by and take it aimlessly. So that brings up another point that since the U.S. and its buddies cannot defeat Iran in the traditional sense, that means they're going to have to invoke untraditional methods, which would be nuclear weapons. But of course, only for those military sites. And if there happen to be civilians in the way, well, that's just, what do they call, collateral damage. And so, but the situation in the U.S. now, I do get news feedback from other countries, and this is being talked about openly around the world. And they're talking about the French president and speeches he has been making, etc. But in the United States, what do we hear about? Joe Paterno. Gee, if you turn on any channel, on any news channel, whatever, all you hear about is good old Joe and all of his problems in Penn State and everything that goes with that. Well, that, in the world of today, deserves about maybe a minute of news, maybe not a half a minute of news, but certainly no more than that, given that there are people starving in the world, the situation. But there again, the news media is remiss on their responsibility. So what do we hear in the good old U.S.? Joe Paterno analyzing looking for student input and thought, and it's just on and on. It doesn't deserve the time it's being given, but that brings up another point. Why all of the smokescreen? And they can divert the U.S. news media, and everybody in the U.S. just sits there and listens to it, when the real topic is what's building up with the activity towards Iran. And with tomorrow being 11-11-11, gee, is that a date that they could pass up? Those dates just don't come around very often. The next one would be 2012, December 12th. And so like a date like that. And then after that, of course, there wouldn't be another series of dates like that for another 100 years. So at any rate, the point is that is something going to happen tomorrow relative to Iran? You're going to wake up and all of a sudden there was some terror attack and all of a sudden we're at war with Iran. Of course, they're going to find or create some flimsy excuse, but in the U.S., all you hear on the news is some scandal. Just a quick note, the telecommunications mess I've talked about earlier, we have hundreds of unconnected competing companies that are for profit. They hold the public hostage with ridiculous rate plans, and then if you want to get out of your rate plan, you have to pay them for bad service. You have to pay them to get away from their terrible service. You know, they're just holding the American public hostage on something. Remember in the Old West, if you shot or stole somebody's horse, that was a basis for hanging someone. But today, there are companies stealing the basic resources to live of the general public, taking their houses away, dominating the telecommunications industry with ridiculous prices and bad service and bailout fees, and on and on. So all I'm saying is that the government and the agencies which are supposed to be controlling these are really owned by the companies that are making the profit and holding the public hostage, which leads into another, just a brief topic, the financial squeeze play. You look at yourself, if you already have not felt the squeeze, I'm sure everybody out there has, but sooner or later, everybody in this country is going to fail financially. That is simply a given. And then the government saving programs, the Obama, you know, no house left behind program, is just a trap. These are financial traps where, oh, you're losing your house and, doggone, the government is just there to help you? I don't think so. These are all just scam traps to get the public to sign on the dotted line, and when they do, the next trap will be the final one, where you just lose everything. This is slavery, and it's coming down the pike here. It's been predicted since the time of Thomas Jefferson that this country would fall to the private banks. And it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out how to do that, how they do that. How do you take a country, instill your banking system, and rob it to the bone? I just wanted to mention something that came to mind this past week when banks foreclose on second mortgages. Now, many, many people have a second mortgage. Well, what did that second mortgage do? It went into the value of the house. People improved. They put value into the house. They fixed up, you know, part of the house, or they did an addition, or they added some value to the house. So when the bank forecloses on a house, typically the person is liable for the second mortgage. Well, the bank is stealing twice because they got the house back at, of course, a reduced value, and they are the ones that created that. The home improvements are not credited to the homeowner. Banks are simply stealing from the homeowner twice. They're making you pay for improvements that went into the house, and they've already taken the house, and then making you pay for those improvements that they stole back from you. So all I'm saying is that the double steal in the foreclosure business And then the banks have sat there and collected money from you all along. One time I was talking to a group of attorneys and talking about the new bankruptcy laws and things like that. And they said, no business, no bank has ever lost money on a bankruptcy. That's a myth. Because what do? First of all, they get the item back. They've been collecting money on something they created for free. They created the money out of thin air at the time they gave the loan. The person who signed for the loan actually created the debt money, and the bank then collects interest on something they never had in the first place. If you go into a bank, tell me of any bank you know that has money in the bank. There's no vault in any bank anywhere. Remember that the bank used to have a vault and had a big safe and a lock? Well, those don't exist anymore. The banks don't have any money in them. So that's a myth. So when the bank loans money, it simply creates that money. And as I said, the bank then, when it forecloses on a house, is stealing the person's house for something that they never had in the first place. And then the second mortgage is the one I wanted to concentrate on tonight. The people have taken that money, put it into the house with their labor. So just think of all of the money spent at Home Depot and Menards and all of the Lowe's, all of the big national chains, the local hardware store, and that went into the person's house or into maintaining the house or upgrading the furnace or the air conditioner. All those hidden costs of home ownership are then lost to the bank, and the bank gives absolutely no credit and additionally makes the person pay that back. So it's a double steal on the banker's part. Okay, on to the next topic. Just a quick mention, how many companies do you call today and are on hold indefinitely? These companies cannot handle their businesses. They all want to sell you something, but when it comes time to perform, you're just going to be on hold. You're going to listen to a lot of hold music, and that's going to get worse in the future. Interesting topic. Some fans wrote in, quite a few people. There's a lot of buzz recently. The question, is there any gold in Fort Knox? The YouTube videos are claiming that it was 1974 when the last public audit of Fort Knox occurred, and that some interesting things like the value of the gold, even though the price of gold changes daily, the U.S. Accounting of the gold in Fort Knox has not changed a penny since 1974. Well, how can that be if the amount of gold in Fort Knox is constant? The amount of gold, then the value should go up or down, depending on the price of gold, and the U.S. accounting still just keeps it constant. So that would make one suspect that there's nothing there. And gee, in this world of politics and back doors and underground tunnels in Washington, would you believe that there is anything in Fort Knox? Well, it's one of those things, and so I wanted to analyze this as a scientist. How would a scientist look at the question, is there gold in Fort Knox? And so my take on it as a scientist is the following. If there is no third-party verification that there is gold in Fort Knox, and I'm not talking about bars of lead with a gold covering that looks like, and they open the door and they go, oh, there's gold bars there. No, you have to take them out and analyze to make sure that they're really gold bars and not just lead covered with gold. There's all kinds of little tricks that could have been played, or on and on. But the point is, as a scientist, if there is no third-party independent verification that there is gold, real gold, and the correct commodity, quantity of gold in Fort Knox, then you must assume there is none until the U.S. corporation that took over our government proves that there is. So do you understand what I'm saying? If there's a scientific experiment and somebody makes a claim, that the cold fusion is a great example. You don't, somebody goes, jumps up and down, I created cold fusion, the Pons and Fleischmann people back, and then everybody said, well, okay, well, that's great. We want to, you know, see how you did this. They couldn't duplicate their own experiment, and they couldn't tell people what they did. Supposedly, they went away for lunch, and when they came back, everything had melted, and they didn't know what happened, so they assumed there was a great amount of heat generated, and so they assumed that they had created cold fusion, and they published an article, self-published, and there was no third-party verification. That's what it's all about. That's what science is all about, third-party independent verification. So, in summary, regarding is there gold in Fort Knox, one has to assume that there is no gold there unless there is a third-party verification that verifies that there is, in fact, gold in the correct quantity and that is not lead bars covered in gold. Okay, just a quick mention on the Jupiter winds. It's something I started talking about October 20th show. The Jupiter winds, and now understand that Jupiter and Earth, the electrical connection, it's the only game in town. Up until, I think it's the 22nd of November, when we're going to have a new moon and then a new moon passing. That's where the moon moves out of the location between and the sun. And as it moves away, the solar wind can come pounding in and a weather effect on Earth. But other than that, it's just Jupiter and Earth. And so once these flows establish, they can become rather stable flows. So it's not the flow or the amount of energy passing Earth. It's the rapid change that occurs that causes the weather on Earth. And that's where the magnetic field of Earth compresses. It drives the jet streams. I talked extensively about the jet streams last week being coupled to our external magnetic field. And so these are the factors that I look at. And, of course, that is something that's not included anywhere in standard science. They don't know anything about that. So, as I said, how can you predict the weather if you don't know what causes the weather? So just a quick note that on the Jupiter winds, we have seen some definite effects of the Jupiter winds. These are winds on Earth caused by the electrical connection between Earth and Jupiter. And it's a very different kind of connection because the majority charge carrier would be electrons coming out from the sun. So it provides a very strange set of conditions. We did have two fairly significant solar flares, both of them caused by comets coming in and discharging near the solar surface, one on October 3rd and one, I forget, was on around the 20th or 21st of October. And that's the one that triggered the solar flaring that caused the northeast power, the northeast storming that the National Weather Service didn't see coming. So at any rate, just a little bit of review there. Okay, this is an interesting story. I got an email from a fan, and I appreciate people sending these in because, you know, I don't have time to go around and look and read everything. So anyway, the email said, did you see your name being used? I'm always interested in seeing how people slam me or talk good about me, whichever the case. And so anyway, I followed up, and it turns out that a place called American Free Press, which I actually used to do some work with them a long time ago. Well, it looks like American Free Press has been taken over by the powers that be, so to speak, and that's understandable. It's a Washington-based news outlet, and that it's, you know, that's how disinformation people work. They infiltrate, then they take over, and something that used to be a good source of information all of a sudden is not. I also want to give an honorable mention to the many, many talk show hosts. Oh, 8-10 years ago, I was being interviewed by many, many talk show hosts, really good, stable, honest, smart, and, you know, knew their topics, talk show hosts on radio, all over the radio, and there are just about none of them left. Very, very few. What happened to most of them is the powers that be would infiltrate their sponsorship. And then all of a sudden cut it off, and then they had two choices. They could either talk the talk of the New World Order, or they could give up their business. I remember a guy, I used to be on a show a lot, Alex Merklinger. There was a time, I'd say it was around 2005, when talk show host after talk show host was going under. And I know it was happening to Alex, and he was one of the honest guys out there. He's the one that stuck to it, and boy, did they give him the business all the way up until he finally had to leave his radio show, and they were just hounding him. Other guys like Clay Douglas, for example. Clay is still around, but just I'll tell you, they just about killed Clay. And he's just not the kind of guy that gives up. I know Clay, I interviewed him with him personally in Colorado one time. We happened to be at a conference, and so we sat down in a room at the conference, and he did an interview with me on his radio show. But these people get harassed and hounded. And so there are two paths that can happen to an outlet that's honest and good. Either they're taken over, like American Free Press has been taken over, obviously, and I'll get into that story in just a minute, or they have a very tough time. A lot of times I don't talk about all the things that happen in my life behind the scenes. It's not something that's it's been happening to me my whole career. So it's nothing new to me. I know how to fend off the BS, if you want to call it that. And it's constant. It is constant. But at any rate, I just wanted to give an honorable mention to all of those talk show hosts who went under the pressure. And that's, by the way, why I sponsor my own show. I'm not subject to people's sponsors. I'm not, when you buy things, my books, etc., on my home page, my web page, you're supporting me in this show and keeping this thing moving. And if you don't, well, it's been going on for a long time, and it's going to keep going on. So that's the way I get around the sponsor thing. People have approached me to be sponsors of my show, and I just say no, thank you, because it inevitably leads to some form of control, or you get commercials on your show that you don't want. Anyway, I just don't go there. But anyway, many of the talk show hosts depended on sponsors, and that's how the disinformation crew would get them. They go into the sponsors, give them take control of the sponsorships, and then pull the rug out from the talk show host. And at that point, the talk show host had two options: to either buy into the New World Order. And there are some pretty big shows out there today that bought into it. Hook, line, and sinker. And so there's some of the ones that I know who they are, and they know who they are. And they're very controlled. We call them fishing sites. They think it makes it sound like they're really on your side. They're really out there fighting for you. But they're the biggest disinformation sources on the planet. And the way you tell them apart is very simple. You tell them apart because there are certain topics they don't talk about. They'll talk about all kinds of issues, but there are certain ones they won't talk about. And the one biggest one they won't talk about is the real issue of Planet X, not the phony Planet X issues. They won't talk about the real Planet X issues. That's a good one. You look at a talk show host that won't talk about real Planet X issues, I'll show you a talk show host that's owned, paid for, bought and paid for. Okay, back to American Free Press, which I don't think is so free anymore. Here's what happened. This article apparently occurred on the 3rd of November, and the title is the 4th of November. It says, "Only 1 year until the world ends," and some clown named John Tiffany, and he's editor, writer, for something called the Barnes Review, which is a revisionist history-based organization in Washington. Well, gee, I wonder who buys and pays for that clown, who butters his bread. So at any rate, he seems to be a nouveau expert on the subject of Planet X. And so anyway, he talks about Comet Elenin, and gee, it didn't come to pass. It was an internet legend that bit the dust, he says. See, he seems to know all about this, but who's prompting him to write this? But the point is that he starts talking about Nancy Leader. Crazy lady talks to aliens, talks about Planet X, everything crazy in the world, goofy stuff. But then he says, and here's his mistake, it says, "Others in her circle include," and then he lists off some names, and he lists my name, stating that I am in the circle with Nancy Leader. Wow, that's interesting, I think, to myself. Here's a guy that comes out of nowhere, out of left field, has no history of writing about any of this. He's telling you, or trying to tell you, that we're not in the end days. Don't worry, folks. It says here, this is a quote from this clown's article. It says, "The odds are slim that the end times are really upon us." Well, gee, John, yeah, it must be God talking to him, too. At any rate, this clown tries to associate me with Nancy Leader. And, of course, if anybody has followed my show, there's nobody that's had to spend more time denouncing and defraying. And, of course, she is completely government-backed. That's the crazy lady talks to aliens to cover up the real Planet X story. And so this is just, you know, the dog and pony show where a crazy person over here, and then you got the white hat, this clown that rides in to save the day. And this little dialogue goes on. It's like the CIA does this all the time. They create the bad guy. They create Osama bin Laden, so that there's the bad boogeyman, and now we got to go have a war. And this eternal war on terror is chasing a guy that the CIA created. The people that shoot up high schools, you know, those are the people that are the reason you have to go through airports and pull your pants down. All of this is created. It's not because of you, the citizen, John Q. Public out there is bad. But the effect is that you are now being scrutinized as if you're a terrorist before you're being scrutinized, and you didn't do anything. So at any rate, I just wanted to point out that then I contacted American Free Press, and I said, I need a response. This is defamatory information about my good name. It is untrue. And I didn't hear anything back from the head editor of American Free Press. Now, there was a day when I could call up American Free Press any day of the week, talk to the head editor, and have an article in there within minutes on a topic that was very important. Not now. They're trying to destroy my good name and will not respond. So my take on it, I wouldn't trust American Free Press. As far as I could, I won't say anything into the wind, but into a hurricane wind. No, this is obviously, American Free Press is obviously an organization taken over in the Washington Circle, and I wouldn't trust it as far as I could spit into the wind. Let's put it that way. Okay, but that brings up a very interesting topic. All of the myths that are out there, and I thought this would be a good show, it would be a good time to talk about the many myths of Planet X that come out of standard science. And in understanding this, you understand what I talk about. I talk about the real history. What does the Colburn tell us? What does Velikovsky tell us? What are the real sources of information that tell us a real history? And then you have to put it together in pieces comets are central to this. Any story in standard science, what do they do? Oh, it's out of time, out of the way, out of the solar system. It's way out of there, and it really isn't going to affect us. And so you don't have to worry about it. Just keep paying your bills. Keep paying that home mortgage as much as you can. Don't worry about the banking. Don't worry about the fact that tomorrow they might be attacking Iran with nuclear weapons. But don't worry about, this is not the end days. Gee, just think of all of the things, the messages that these people are trying to drive home to you. And just think of all of the people out there that read this and think that, for example, American Free Press is a legitimate source. Because once they were, but they're not anymore. American Free Press is on the bottom of the list, as far as I'm concerned. They bought and paid for. As I said, a lot of these people go that way, and that's the way it's going to be. There's not going to be very many legitimate sources of information, and that was predicted thousands of years ago. It said they're going to send many people to lead you astray, and boy, if that isn't a prophecy come true today, I can't tell you what is. Okay, in terms of the many myths of Planet X coming out of standard science, let's start with the demise of the dinosaurs, that an asteroid somehow collided with Earth, and we know these things happen. The moon is pockmarked with asteroid collisions and craters from many, many collisions. Standard science wants to tell you that that happened billions of years ago, as Carl Sagan would say. Billions. Make sure you get that B and really stress it, because that means far away and long ago and out of mind. Don't ever think about anything happening today, because what standard science wants to promote is that everything is hunky-dory. We live in a stagnant universe. We live in a stagnant solar system. And if anything's going to happen, it's going to be to that other star over there. Don't think it's going to happen here, folks, because the real issue is that if people understood the past, that these things happen, they can happen on a regular basis, and that it's not a collision with Earth. That is the biggest point here, that things come by Earth, big things, and when they do, they're in the form of a comet, not an asteroid. Do you see all the misinformation here? They want to concentrate on an asteroid, a thing that you can see, a physical body. It doesn't have a comet's tail around it. And it's small. Don't worry about anything big coming by. Asteroids, by their very nature, are small. So just think of all of the misinformation that goes into that dinosaur story. And you see it in grade schools all the way up through National Geographic specials, through History Channel, the Discovery Channel, who knows, Scientific American, Discover magazine, the on and on. The list goes on. The astronomy magazines constantly refer to this. One of the biggest con men in this country, Lyndon Johnson, had a great saying. He said, you know, if you just keep repeating something long enough, then other people repeat it, and before long it becomes the truth. Everybody thinks it's the truth. And so good old Lyndon had a way of doing that. He had a way of maneuvering stuff. He knew how to manipulate people and things for his own benefit. He didn't get where he was without walking over a lot of people, in the dirt of that guy, in the trail of that guy. And so that's one of the things that you must understand, that if you keep repeating something, and the disinformation crew knows this, if you keep repeating something over and over again, you put it in the textbooks, you put it in the newspaper, everybody starts repeating it, and it becomes like, oh, well, that's the way it is then. Oh, okay. So at any rate, I'm going to take just 1 second here, and I'm going to turn on my radio to see what kind of signal I'm getting here. I just happen to be in a place I'm kind of blocked from the signal, so I just wanted to see if I was getting any signal here. The asteroid killing the dinosaurs, and I did a whole show one night on the reality of the newest studies on that, that there was a group of scientists who went down around the crater in the Yucatan. It's that northern bay off the Yucatan Peninsula, and it extends out into the Gulf of Mexico. It's a giant crater, and they're going, that's where the asteroid hit that killed the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. Well, I have to give this clown John Tiffany from American Free Press a little standing ovation here, because he just seems to be versed in all of the standard stories coming from standard science, that the and in that sing-song nursery rhyme sort of way, just repeats that that's standard knowledge, that somehow an asteroid collided with Earth, killing the dinosaurs. Well, the latest study shows that the crater that was down there, that the event that happened, there was a spray of material that went out of the crater, and the dinosaurs that lived in that area did not go extinct. The ones that lived right in that area at ground zero lived on. Not a single dinosaur species died out after that crater was formed, right in the area, let alone any place around the world. So, in other words, you have dirt below the event, dinosaur fossils, etc., plant fossils, and, okay, event, a layer of dirt that came out of the spray from when that asteroid hit. Then afterwards, layered on top of that, dinosaur fossils, plant fossils, all the same species. Not a single species died as a result of that asteroid impact, which led to the conclusion that NASA and other standard science has been vastly overestimating the damage that asteroids can inflict on Earth or any of the other planets if there's a direct hit. And then if you start to analyze this, you see that NASA has no proof of any physical proof of what they were talking about. They're talking about firestorms that cover the Earth. I saw one, I don't know what it was. It was on a History Channel or one of those. They're all the same as far as I'm concerned. That showed a firestorm covering the entire Earth burned up after an asteroid hit. It's very much exaggerated, and here's the reason why. The Earth absorbs that energy locally. The Earth is like a sponge. It's like an energy sponge. And yes, there's going to be local damage, but it's not going to go around the Earth. It's not going to blow our atmosphere off. It's going to be a localized event. And as these scientists showed, through proof, through the discovery of fossils, that the fossils that were there after the event were the same fossils as before, 100% of them. Not a single dinosaur species died off as a result of a very well-known impact, and that's the one that standard science points to. But you see these clowns still in a sing-song nursery rhyme manner repeating this as if it's fact. But what's the point? As I said, an asteroid is little, it hits the Earth, it happened long ago, it's not going to happen again tomorrow, so don't worry about it. And, it's fairy tale science. It's fairy tale science, and it doesn't allow the public to look at the real cause of these, events, which is large passing comets. So, okay, look at, for example, a comet comes in the other couple of weeks ago, twice in October, comet comes in near the sun, snaps that electrical discharge. It's the plasma discharge of the solar capacitor. The comet isn't hitting the sun. It's just coming near the sun, and we have literally hundreds and hundreds of examples of comets coming in near the sun, creating that plasma discharge that snapped like a spark plug, kicking off the fusion in the surface of the sun. And out comes a huge solar flare, in this case, those both times affecting Earth and Earth weather, but not a single word of that on spaceweather.com, which you would think would be the primary place that would be interesting in presenting that information to the public. But they don't want to talk anything about a comet being able to do that. In fact, they refer to articles by NASA paid apologist web pages. Now, this is a very interesting string of events, and I wanted to make sure I announced on this show. This past week, I discovered a link, a direct link from NASA, funding a number of web pages. It goes through, like, one of them goes through the Naval Research Laboratory that goes off to another private agency, and a civilian runs this particular web page as an apologetic site for NASA theories, in this case, comets, sun-grazing comets. And so what's the end result? NASA pays through the back door for these agencies, and then I started to realize, I looked into the structure of these companies, and I'll give you a term that I've coined. The term is no visible means of support. You start seeing web pages out there that they are giving out real misinformation. They are look to be independent, but they're really not. And you have to ask yourself, where, you know, these people don't work. They don't have jobs. They don't do something else. They have no visible means of support. So where is the support coming for the staff, the people? There's one web page. In fact, all of these web pages also get their information on what they call the NASA Open Data Policy. Well, I'll tell you something. I, throughout my career, have attempted to get data from NASA, and I don't get it. So, gee, how come these particular web pages readily get data any day of the week? In fact, some of them get data every day of the week. Pictures from NASA, data files, cropped and in a certain format, always the same format, always the same number of pixels, and color formatting with framing and everything. How did this, somebody at NASA is spending serious time supporting, not only with money, but with data, with information, with photos, whatever it takes to keep these web pages up. Do you know how much time and effort it takes to keep a web page up on a daily basis and put long articles and pictures and all this? It takes a tremendous amount of work. My poor web page is pretty basic and pretty, I'll admit it, it's pretty bad. But it's what I can do, and I don't go out and I don't solicit and I don't get information, and I'll tell you, I have tried to get pictures on certain items and certain data from NASA, and I don't get a thing. So how do these web pages get something every day? There's an obvious link of support. And as I said, now I've discovered the financial link that goes between NASA and these web pages and websites and private people that actually supports them financially, puts money in their bank account so they can live a nice lifestyle. They don't have to work. They don't have a job. And all they have to do is concentrate on, you know, keeping this misinformation out there. But the one thing universally they will never talk about is the fact that it's always diversionary. For example, the one page that talked about the comets that came near the sun, the apologetic page saying, oh, this couldn't have been what caused, it was just a big coincidence. Well, gee, the coincidence happening hundreds and hundreds of times becomes just a little bit more than an average coincidence. And what they do is they say, they try and isolate that event and say, that was just a coincidence. They never want to talk about the fact that there are hundreds and hundreds of these, hundreds and hundreds of these so-called coincidences. So at any rate, the topics of myths of Planet X coming out of Standard Science. There's for a long time, NASA and the Standard Science community has talked about something they called Nemesis, the Death Star, supposedly way out there beyond the orbit of Pluto. and it orbits around the sun, but it's way out there and it'll never come in, so don't worry about it. Well, the first thing is that once NASA really got some decent equipment where they could search for planets out in that region, you know what? In the first year they had that equipment operational, they found 40 planets. 40. And that's why the astronomers had to denounce Pluto as a planet. They said, we cannot have Pluto as a planet, because if we did, all of a sudden they'd have to announce that there are 40 new planets. 40 new planets in 1 year. And then even the dumbest person on the block would go, well, wait a minute. Everybody knew there were 9 planets, and most people could name most of them, at least Earth. You know, but they could probably name Venus and Mars and Jupiter and maybe Saturn. But at any rate, 9 planets, and that was just something you learned in first grade. 9 is a number that you could handle. But all of a sudden in 1 year, 40 planets? Obviously, standard science had to come in and do something. There was an international vote of registered astronomers, and the vote came out to leave Pluto as is, registered as a planet. On one of those Christmas Eve special sessions, a group of astronomers got together and officially announced that Pluto was no longer a planet. So now we got 8 planets. Well, why is that? That's because if Pluto were considered a planet, all of a sudden we have 40 planets. And they're in all types of different orbits. But then the thing that NASA didn't tell you is they probably had about 200 more that they discovered that are in odd orbits. They only announced the ones that are in orbits that are relatively circular, that don't come into the inner solar system. They never announced the ones. Obviously, they are bigger ones. And another thing that happened, an interesting experimental result, there were some astronomers looking at other stars. And what happens is when a planet comes between a star and Earth, then it occults the star. In other words, it blocks light from the star. So if you have a big star orbiting a sun, a star, a distant star, and it blocks out a lot of its light, and then through, say, a 100-year period or a 20-year period, whatever, it comes around and blocks that out again, you say, wow, there's a big object orbiting that sun. You do your statistics. What they came up with is there is at least one major planet way outside the range of normal solar system. There's at least one associated with every star in the galaxy. That's more than just a few. Those are the ones they saw. So what about the ones that they didn't see? What we're getting here is data coming in from all directions that tells us there's a whopping big number of planets out there. They're not in nice circular orbits way out there. And then I get a kick out of this clown from American Free Press, which ain't so free anymore, claims that a guy named Tom Van Flandern, who is dead now, but Tom, in some respects, was a good astronomer, and in some respects, he was very useful to the disinformation crew, because he could claim that there were planets in the solar system that met an untimely demise by crashing with another planet, but that was long, long, long ago. Don't worry about it now. And Tom openly said, Tom Van Flattern stated that there could be no Planet X objects. Well, isn't that convenient? On the one hand, you're saying that there are, you know, at least a half a dozen planets out there that got smashed and destroyed by hitting another planet. And where did this magical other planet come from? He never talks about that. Well, clearly he's talking about a Planet X type of object. But then on the other flip side, he says there's no such thing as Planet X. Double talk coming from the Naval Observatory. And he was high up. He was Harrington's assistant through the whole period of time. Remember the astronomer Harrington that led the NASA page study looking for, in fact, it was called the study. We've got the contract number and everything. I believe that's on my webpage someplace, that shows the Harrington study from about 1982 to about 1993, an 11-year period where Harrington was in charge of looking for planet X. And the key was that the planets Neptune and Uranus and Neptune were being pulled down in their orbit. And so now people say, well, it was just kind of being pulled around. Well, no, it was being pulled down. The only way something could be pulled down out of its orbit if there was something major league major down below the solar system. And then, so he went down. Harrington took an 8-inch astrograph. Now, we talk about big telescopes today, gigantic telescope systems, the Hubble Space Telescope out in outer space, and now much bigger telescopes on Earth that have better resolution. Harrington was using an 8-inch astrograph. It's an 8-inch. That's how big the telescope was he was using. Ground-based from New Zealand. The reason he went to New Zealand in June is because that is the only place that you can see the southern hemisphere during the whole year. And so he took some data and magically died on the way back. Another guy, Schumacher, by the way, a few dead astronomers around. I think that Schumacher was about ready to go public on the data that he had, also looking from Australia in the southern hemisphere into the south in that magical month of May. And so anyway, what I'm saying is that the story we're getting out of standard science doesn't add up, doesn't make sense, and that you have all these pseudo-expert clowns running around trying to make a story, trying to tell you something different. But remember, that isn't NASA talking. There's no official NASA spokesperson that says, there's no Planet X. Have you ever heard an official NASA expert, so to speak, say that? No. It's all these peripheral people. Where did they come from? Where did they get their expertise? Where are they? How come they're all of a sudden the expert on a topic like Planet X? Do they have telescopes? Do they have information? Is somebody feeding them information that they're not giving to someone else? But basically, they're referring always back to these standard stories that come out of standard science, what I call the myths of Planet X. What are these myths designed to do? They are designed to defray the topic. Out of sight, out of mind, long ago, far away, like the beginning of Star Wars. Long ago, far away in a galaxy that you don't even know the name of. These things happen, but it sure can't happen here. Don't think about that. As I've said before, why is that? Because the rulers of the world know that if you thought for 1 second there was such a thing that could happen, you would turn, you would walk off your job, you'd stop being in your house, and society that worships them and honors their banking system would crumble in a heartbeat, in a New York second. So at any rate, the list of Planet X topics goes on and on, but they don't want to. They keep drumming on these same old topics, and as I said, it's always these outside people. It's never somebody from NASA. I always have a very distrustful view when some clown outside of NASA claims to have inside information, but only that person has that information and guarantees you that he's right. Well, where do these people come from? But at any rate, for American Free Press to post an article like this to patently put in false information, and especially once they try and use my name and associate it with Nancy Leader, okay, gloves are off. American Free Press, you are obviously owned, bought, and paid for right in Washington, where that's where those things happen. So, as I said, don't put a dime or a nickel of credence into anything that comes out from that outfit from now on. I wanted to get back and talk with about the Jupiter winds just a little bit more, because we'll be heading out of that Jupiter electrical alignment here shortly. But I'm just wondering, and I think the ancients were very tuned to this. Remember that, for example, the ancient Chinese around the year 1200, at least as early as 1200 AD, the Chinese were cognizant of the fact that the flu, increase in the flu, came from, the swine flu that is, came from the inferior conjunction of Venus. Modern medical research has verified that, and it's published in the medical journals. So that's when Venus passes between Earth and the Sun. Well, why is that? I've explained that before also, that the viruses actually build in the electrical tail of the comet. And Venus is still acting as a comet, even though it's been, you might call it a defunct comet, for a couple thousand years, probably 4,000 or 5,000 years. As it worked its way through the solar system, it was a very famous comet. And the Mayan, if you want to talk about Mayans in the Mayan calendar, what is central to the Mayan calendar is the study of Venus. It's not about the sun and the moon and December 21st, 2012. That's a bunch of hooey. That's the biggest bunch of ridiculous garbage that ever hit the planet. The real Mayan calendar uses Venus as the central point. Now, why in a solar system where you have sun and you have the moon as the dominating factors in what you would normally call the calendar or the spin rate of the Earth, why would the Mayans dominate their calendar with Venus? Well, that's because Venus was the dominating factor in the solar system for a long time, and they remember it. They remember it in their mathematics, they remember it in their calendars, they remember it in their myths, and it's central to everything that happens. Quetzalcoatl was the plumed serpent god of the night sky, whose heart eventually became the planet Venus, a giant comet. It had two interactions with Earth. That's the same, one of those was the same interaction during, on the other side of the planet, the Moses event. So at any rate, I'm just about out of time. I don't want to talk about my products or webpage. Just give out the mail order, give out the webpage address, jmccsci.com. And for mail order, what I'd suggest is if you are interested in that two CD set, it's $17 for the one CD set, $24 for the two sets of them. Give a set away to the friend. And the mail order address, JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. And the webpage, if in doubt, go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.